Are you good enough to get into heaven? That's what we're going to discuss in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Today we're going to discuss an important subject about being good enough. We're currently in a series called Beyond Doubt, and it's based on a book by one of our discussion leaders, Sean Lazar, called Beyond Doubt, How to Be Sure of Your Salvation. You can get a copy of that book on Amazon or at faithalone.org/store. Now, if you're following along in the book, today's discussion is going to be based on Chapter 2. Here's Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. This is Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus. We're going through a new series based on my book, Beyond Doubt, How to Be Sure of Your Salvation. One of our ministries or one of our focuses here on Grace and Focus is we want you to have assurance of everlasting life. A lot of Christianity has inbuilt doubt. It has doubt and worry and uncertainty built into it because it's just not clear about the promise of life. And once you're clear about the promise of life and you believe the promise of life, you have assurance of salvation. So we want all of our listeners to have assurance of salvation, to believe in Jesus for that life that cannot be lost. And I wrote this book, Beyond Doubt, How to Be Sure of Your Salvation, to help people get to that point. Now, the second chapter of the book is called Are You Good Enough? The Error of Salvation by Works, because one of the most surefire ways of losing or not having assurance of salvation is to believe in some form of salvation by works.
That's exactly right. If people look to themselves, they look at their works, then they can't have assurance because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, and that includes all of us.
Right.
So as a result, salvation by works doesn't work, and it will strip the one who has assurance from assurance, and the one who doesn't have it isn't going to get it.
So first of all, salvation by works will not give you assurance because, first of all, it's a false gospel.
Right.
It's a false saving message. A lot of churches, a lot of denominations teach it, but that doesn't mean it's true. Paul was very clear, we're justified by faith apart from works.
And in Galatians, that's where he talks about this false gospel. In Galatians 1:6-9, he is talking about people who were legalists. Mm-hmm. We call them Judaizers, but they were bringing in work salvation.
Right.
And Paul says, wait a minute, justification is by faith apart from works.
Right. You can think of it this way. One day, I'm from Canada originally, and when I married my wife, I had a green card situation I needed to work out. And so we were living in Boston, but every few months I had to go back to Canada, and then I cross over the border again. I remember one time I was crossing over the border, and the border guard asked, you know, do you have any fruits or vegetables with you? And I said, yeah, I have this orange that I was eating as a snack on the drive. And he said, well, you're going to have to leave it at the border. You can't bring any fruits and vegetables over. And I said, yeah, but this is a Florida orange. I'm just bringing it back home. You know, I'm just, you know,
this is,
I'm repatriating this orange. And he said, doesn't matter, sir. You can't have any fruits crossing the border. I was like, yeah, but this is from here. You know, it's like, these don't grow in Canada. I'm just bringing it back. And he says, sorry, sir, you can't have it. Do you think the border guard cared, like, if the fruit was in my front seat or in my back seat or in my trunk?
No.
It doesn't matter where the fruit is. You just can't have it across the border, right?
Right.
It doesn't matter where it is.
No, it could be in your pocket, and he's going to be like, no, that's no good.
It's still illegal. It doesn't matter where you put it. Same thing with works, okay? Some churches are very obvious and upfront about salvation by works. They say you need faith and you need works, and they put works in the front seat.
Right.
But other churches are a little more sneaky about it, a little more subtle maybe. They'll say, well, we believe in justification by faith apart from works, but then they try to smuggle in the works someplace else in the car, some in the back seat, maybe in the trunk, maybe in the glove compartment. And they'll do things like they'll redefine faith to include good works.
Right.
They'll say, yeah, we're not saved by faith plus works, but you obviously need a faith that works in order to be saved.
Right. No, that's a major problem, and ultimately what happens is they have made works a condition of getting into the kingdom, of getting into heaven. They may say something like, we're saved by faith apart from works, but final salvation requires works.
Right.
Or they may say, like you say, the one who is truly saved works.
Uh-huh.
And the result is, whether the works are in the glove compartment or the trunk or under the hood, wherever they are, they are introducing works. Howard Hendricks at Dallas Seminary Chapel one time said a lot of people front load the gospel. That was his term. You know, they'll come right out and say you've got to have faith plus works, but he said other people backload the gospel. And his point there was then they would say, well, if you don't have enough works, you're not really saved.
They'll say, you know, you're initially saved by faith apart from works, but then maybe to keep it, you need to have faith and works.
Oh, and that's a big deal in what's called Arminianism, right? Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, and most Protestants believe you can lose everlasting life, which, by the way, it's got the wrong name if you can lose it.
Right. It wouldn't be everlasting if you could lose it. This idea that we're saved by works can factor in different ways in different churches. It's not always obvious. You need to be aware of the different, it's kind of like a hydra, you know, the many-headed hydra. We love watching those old movies with those claymation, and you have the hero fighting the hydra with the many-headed dragon or whatever. And sometimes work salvation is like that. It has many different heads, many different versions of what salvation by works is. Now, how do all these versions affect assurance?
Ultimately, all of them destroy assurance. Because how can I be sure that I have everlasting life if I'm basing it on, at least in part, my works? Well, it would seem to me then you have to have some criteria to say, okay, the one who has prayed this particular prayer 300 times has everlasting life. Or the one who has made a pilgrimage to Rome and climbed the steps on his knees 14 times, then they have everlasting life. Unless you have some objective way of quantifying your works, well, then you have no way of having assurance. And so what happens is people will go through and try to say, yeah, but I'm on a good trajectory.
Right.
My works are looking pretty good. Well, I don't understand. If you're a sinner and you fall short of the glory of God, how could you ever be saved by works?
Well, see, that's, I think what they do is they'll look at major sins that are major to them, and they'll be like, well, I had a drinking problem, but I don't have it anymore, so I must be doing better. Or I was getting angry all the time, but now I'm a little more mellow. I still have my moments when I'm in my car, but I'm getting better. Therefore, I must be saved, right? There's no other explanation for making these little behavior changes. But the thing is, people stop drinking all the time.
Right.
It has nothing to do with your salvation.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, I'm glad for people who make life changes that result in them being more godly. But the truth is, we're not saved by being more godly. We're not given everlasting life because we've gotten better.
Right.
We're given everlasting life because we believe in Jesus. If we link our salvation to our works, then we have denied the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, when asked, what works must we do that we may work the works of God? John 6:28. His answer is, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent.
Right, singular.
Jesus says it's the only work, the only action is to believe in Jesus. We can't do works. And so once we say, well, you know, we're doing all these works to prove we're really saved or in order to demonstrate that we have real faith, we've denied the Lord Jesus Christ. We've rejected what he said.
Right. And so I see two potential errors here. One is that it'll destroy assurance. And I think that's true. But I think what's even more true is it gives people false assurance. I mean, there are some people who do have some measure of assurance thinking, you know, I'm doing okay. I'm better than average. So I'm probably okay with God. I'm going to die and God will weigh my life on the scales and I'll be slightly better than bad and I'll get in that way. And that's false assurance.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I've met people, and I know you have too, who claim they haven't sinned in years or decades,
right?
Not only are they better than most people, they're sinless.
Right.
Those people say, well, clearly I'm going to get in because I don't sin at all and I haven't sinned in years and years and years. Well, first of all, one sin, James 2:10 or Galatians 3:10, one sin and you're guilty of breaking the entire law.
You're a lawbreaker.
If you sinned 25 years ago and you haven't sinned since, you're still a sinner.
Right.
The only way to be born again is to believe in Jesus. And to believe in Jesus, we must be convinced that his promise of everlasting life by faith apart from works is true.
Right, that's right.
Once we introduce works into it, we're not believing in Jesus.
Right.
Now, we may believe some things about Jesus. That's where people get confused.
Right.
But we're not believing what he promised.
You might have heard the term easy believism. You and I definitely believe in easy believism.
Right.
Because Jesus made it easy, and he made it about believism. You know?
Right.
Believe in me, you have everlasting
right.
life. But people say easy believism as kind of like an insult term.
Right.
But what's the other option? If you reject that, then what do you have? Recently, someone said, well, if you reject easy believism, you must believe in easy legalism.
What's easy legalism?
Easy legalism is that works come to play in your salvation, but God can't demand too much. He can't demand perfection, because then no one would be saved. So it must be easy legalism. It's by works, but it's a low enough standard that just about anyone can do it.
No, I like that. I mean, I like it because I don't like it, but yeah. It's a good point. But, you know, the other thing about easy believism, one of the things I think, I'm sure you've thought about this, most people, even within Christianity, reject the idea that the one who simply believes in Jesus has everlasting life, which can never be lost. So if it's so easy, how come most people in Christianity don't believe it? In my estimation, it's easy on the one hand, because all we're doing is we're simply passively believing in what Jesus has done for us and what he has promised us. But on the other hand, it's not so easy, because it's hard to find people who believe this.
Mm-hmm.
Most people would say we're fools for believing this. In fact, like you say, they say we believe in easy believism, or we believe in cheap grace. No, we believe in grace that cost the Lord Jesus Christ his very life. That's not cheap. That's expensive.
Grace is free for us, but it was extremely expensive for Jesus. Jesus paid it all. Jesus fulfilled the law for you. Jesus did the work for you. Jesus lived a holy life for you so that you can get a free gift of everlasting life by simply believing him for it. And there's no virtue in your believing. The believing is just the way that God gives you that life. If you've been trying to earn your salvation by works up until now, and you've been struggling with your assurance up until now, here's a challenge to you. Give it up. Just simply believe in Jesus for what he freely gives to you, everlasting life.
Amen.
Thanks to Sean and Bob for that great discussion. I love how Sean put it right there at the end. Give it up. We need to leave legalism behind and realize that salvation comes by faith alone in Christ alone. Maybe you'd like to grow on this subject. I'm going to suggest our featured resource for this series. It's called Beyond Doubt, How to Be Sure of Your Salvation by Sean Lazar. You can get that book at Amazon, or you can get it at faithalone.org/store. It'd be a great companion for this very series. Now, in addition to that, we've got all kinds of free resources on our site available for you. We've got a great print magazine. We've got teaching videos. We've got podcasts. We have free ebooks and blog posts that go out daily. We have all kinds of resources that can help you grow. I hope you'll take advantage of those on faithalone.org. You might even want to become a financial partner. If that's the case, we would very much appreciate it. All gifts are tax deductible. You can find out how to do that right on faithalone.org. You might have questions for Sean and Bob. They get giddy over hearing from listeners. You can reach out directly through email, radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Next time on the broadcast, we're going to look at chapter 3 of Sean's book about backloading the gospel. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.